Is that recording now? Yeah, the timer's running, so.
There you go. So the way it works is, you know, we want their list, right? Their class list, their Cub Scouts, their Boy Scouts, whatever. And what we say is it's a flat price, it's $349. It's an hour and a half party, right? You're generally here for 2 hours because it's 15 minutes before and 15 minutes after. And, you know, we want as many people as possible. It's an unlimited guest list, right? So let's invite, you know, 40, 50, 60 people, and hopefully we pack them with 25, 35 kids or something like that. And so what we want to do is send an invite thing. Currently what we do is an RSVP to the parents of, so we're not handling that. And, you know, we successfully captured their email address. They get an invite, which just is a generic, you know, PDF, and then below that, the manager just drops the information, right? As I'm looking at, here's the invite. I don't know if you guys have that in there for some reason. Anyway, you know, what we wanted to do also was be able to get the kids interested in karate and parents interested in karate, obviously, while they're there. So what we did is we tweaked the party system, which I just handed out, to include, give everyone a white belt, right? After you talk about black belt habits and, you know, reinforcing good behavior and kind of what we do in character development. And then take the party kid up for being such an awesome guy and showing good character and host to being a great host, high-fiving them and giving a blue stripe on their belt for being, you know, a character strike. That's how our curriculum is. So now everybody standing there with a white belt is all psyched up, but, you know, 5-10 minutes later, this kid's getting a stripe, right? So now what do they all want? They all want a stripe on their belt, right? And then, boom, oh, well, you know, who thinks they can, you know, get a stripe on their belt? Who wants a stripe on their belt? You know, anyone know what this means? So we do a little huddle up, bring all the parents in, and say, you know, it's awesome that you guys want to do this, and, you know, Johnny, you have great friends, and da-da-da-da. So here's what we do. We issue two things. So we do a 48-hour challenge for the kids, right? And so what they have to do is in 48 hours, they have to go show a good habit at home, bring it back, signed by mom and dad, you know, and then they get their stripe on their belt at their first lesson, right? And it also gives us a reason to call them and say, we really want to fulfill our promise to your child, rather than just calling them for an appointment only. It's a nice, you know, icebreaker on the phone. Immediately after, well, they're leaving the party, by the way. There's a couple details in the outline that are pretty important, but they're leaving the party with that 48-hour challenge and one other paper here, which is a signed piece of paper from the child. You guys have that in
this one?
Yeah, sorry. So once they commit to saying, yeah, you know, I can have black belt behavior, I want to get that blue stripe and this, that, the other thing, this is a message from the child that says, hey, mom and dad, I'm now a white belt. Right? He just declared it, right? Like little Johnny just declared to mom and dad, I'm a white belt, this is what it all means, you know, I'm going to show good behavior, sign it. And our hope is that mom and dad hold on to that paper for a few more days just because it has Johnny's name on it, rather than just being a flyer. You know, like I said, we've just kind of started this, so time will tell. And then at the end of the party, there's a couple different ways you can kind of all try and make appointments in the lobby and a big board and, you know, names and things like that. But the critical thing is immediately dumping all of your emails into your birthday party follow-up, you know, campaign within, you know, 24 hours or right at the end of the party or whatever that is, and within 24, 48 hours calling them, you know, and trying to schedule them that week. So I don't think anything really groundbreaking except maybe, you know, kind of the twist on how to get a stripe and, you know, things like that are maybe helpful.
My question, do you do anything to try to get them an appointment right then that day?
Yeah, in all honesty, my staff needs to be trained on that. So we kicked around different ideas and we have some things designed that they're not really well implemented right now. So this, you know, the scripts and the plan right now is to have actually a big board in the lobby, right? And so, you know, basically you drop a couple names, you target a few people, you know, for personal conversations, and once you know they're on board, you drop their names down there, you've got them, it's kind of a social proof thing, and then, you know, hopefully it gets rolling a little bit, you know, there.
We find that the kids are all excited. The kids are all, yeah, yeah, want to do it. The parents are like, we'll see, you know.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Nothing real successful with it. I mean, get here and there.
My fear about the appointment on site is if it doesn't go well, it's kind of like no one does this, right? So I kind of like the give a reason to call, right? Call, you know, we want to fulfill the promise to your child that we made. All the parents and all the kids have the same conversation on site about, you know, you're all coming back this week, it's just assumed, right? And then handle those little conversations and appointments kind of on their own. So that's just kind of where I'm at.
I would do them one-on-one.
Yeah.
The door.
On the way in, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the way in and on the way out. Because as much of a man house, you get, you know, they trickle in.
Say it again.
I would handle the conversations of one-on-one with the parent on the way in the door. And of course, the problem that you have is one mom brought three kids, yeah. so now you don't, you only have one of the three that you can talk to. A couple things I didn't hear you say you might be doing. You know, I mean, most successful I've seen the birthday parties are doing, and one of the things I know he's doing is when you roll, you schedule your birthday party that day. So, you know, it doesn't matter if your birthday was yesterday and you had your party last week. Is you're scheduling your karate birthday party, so you're enrolling for a year, and let's schedule your, you know, you have to see your birthday is in November, let's schedule your birthday party now, and they put it in the calendar right then and there. And it's kind of like the renewal thing, much better to do that than to go try to pick them up later. Who in here has kids that are in that age range right now? Have you guys been paying attention to all the birthday parties and to the different people? I'm just always appalled by, you know, all the big national franchise chains and one thing or another and how poorly they handle this, because I don't think one of them has ever gotten our lead information. There's a couple of them that where corporate designed it really well and they have the really nice full color glossy permission slip and the place to fill out more information, but then what they do is they screw it up by putting a 16-year-old bimbo in the front desk who doesn't even ask for it. And in most cases, they don't even have you sign the waiver. So, you end up with some 16-year-old making $7 an hour who points you over there. And the point of failure is at the choke point on the way in the party. Right? Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I've noticed with my daughter is she's been in two different private schools now. And each private school had everybody's favorite place, right? So, you know, this girl had her party here, and this girl had her party here, and this boy had a party here, and so now it ends up being like there's four places the class kind of rotates, because, you know, they all either like the jungle gym place, or they like the bouncy house place, or they like the, you know, the other thing, and all of a sudden it feeds on itself, and I haven't seen any of these guys marketing birthday parties to birthday party attendees. It's just, you know, it happens spontaneously anyway. And the other thing I know that Doyen is doing is he's spending an awful lot of time with direct mail follow-up and everything else marketing birthday parties to birthday party attendees as well as marketing, you know, karate class. So instead of just trying to get them all as students, even if you don't get them as students, that doesn't mean they didn't want to have their own karate birthday party. Right. And so one of the things that and I'm sure he's doing it very well, I mean, he's, I don't know how many damn parties he's having a month.
Is he charging for the parties?
Yeah. Not as a profit center, right? No. I mean, it's last I knew, I mean, it's been a couple of years, the last I knew pretty much all the money was covered by the marketing that went into it and the employees. But, I mean, again, if you get 30 kids in a school for basically a big intro for free, you know, at break even, you're tickled to death. But that's something else he's doing very effectively is taking that mailing list of kids, you know, having the information hopefully include when their birthday is, but constantly marketing to all of them for them to do their own party at the school, as well as marketing to get them to the school.
Right.
So,
Master Allen,
yes.
What ratio of email versus direct mail follow-up would you recommend for birthday attendees?
What ratio? Well, maybe said differently, frequency. You know, I would like to direct mail to them a couple times a month forever, and probably email to them a couple of three times a week forever, right? And so I guess that ratio would be, but 10 or 12 emails a month versus one or two or three or right. email pieces a month. You know, if I was going to design like the ideal system, I would mail to them maybe six times in 6 weeks right after they came to the party. But then I'd make sure that I was mailing to them once or twice a month forever.
And then speed it up again right before their birthday, the attendees?
Oh, to market for the party?
Yep.
Yeah. If you had their birth date, how far out?
I'm not a parent, so.
3 months?
3 months?
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
When is it kind of like we should start doing that and then that, wow, it's crunch time? What is that? 90 days, 60 days? Or?
60 days.
I would think 8 weeks of shit.
Okay, yeah. So that 90 to 60, that third month.
Yeah, I would start your marketing 90 days out, so it plants the seeds of 60 days. Mm-hmm. You know, when we start to think about it, we're like, oh, yeah, what about that karate thing? You know, because really no decision's being made 90 days out unless you have a very tight day parent.
The only addition I would make is I would tag that into everything that you're mailing, right? So you're doing follow-up to get them in the classes anyway. Tag on there, maybe separate URL, everything. It's one of the things that's on our list to do is have a generic birthday party site that we can route out leads. But when you're marketing to them for the school, I would have that tag to it. And, with all the kids marketing, there's no reason not to have that tag to it anyway, right? You know, also, you know, host your birthday party here at the school. But I think that's probably the right answer. Probably most parties get planned 6 to 8 weeks in advance, so you're not in front of them 90 days in advance.
One of the things we try.
How many parties do you run a month?
We just started this whole process, so we ran 4 in January.
That's good, because I'll do a third.
We have 3 of us. Yeah.
2 every weekend.
Yeah.
Like,
you up 2 every
weekend? 6 months out.
Yeah. You do?
You know, we registered a couple of websites.
You need to implement better.
Free karate birthday party and parties.com. They built the site. I figured out what the hell. Now, we don't give them anything,
yeah.
But we supply the place and the instructors and all that stuff. You know, I thought we'd get a lot more people to do it, but we get some, but we don't get. Well, I figured out, it's free. Why not? You know, they bring their own cupcakes over there, get one on pizza.
These things don't sell themselves. It doesn't matter if it's free or if it's, $500. You've really got to get some critical mass going with it, right? And within the student body, it's got to become the thing to do. And again, it goes back to the multi-school thing. You know, birthday parties done right can be a huge damn home run. For Mike over there, it's the hardest damn thing in the world to manage because you've got 5 or 6 different locations and you've got the full-time guys don't want to do it because you can't convince someone what it's going to be, so they don't want to be there on Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon. And then now you've got to get them managing some teenager to be in there. At one time, I always moved towards, let's try to centralize the damn thing. So, put somebody in charge of birthday parties and get them to do it, it's a nightmare. The flip side of it is that if you've got a Disney-esque person that can manage it across a multiple school operation, it could be 5 or 10 enrollments per month per school. And in a single school, Doyen at one time was doing like 50 enrollments a month. All of his leads were coming from birthday parties. Now, it doesn't mean he was doing 50 enrollments from birthday parties. He was doing 40 enrollments a month from direct mail with all the leads having been fed into the system for birthday parties. So it's something with the right level of stage management can be fabulous. But as you're saying, Mike, it doesn't sell itself. You don't put a poster up and tag it on the website and put a flyer out to the students and all of a sudden they flock to it. It's really got to be when they enroll, you schedule the birthday party, you know when everybody's birthday is, you talk to them one way. It's almost as much effort to set stuff up as it is a renewal until you really get critical mass going. Then once it gets to be the thing, right, it's again like the, talking about my daughter, it becomes a thing in each of the schools. If it, once it becomes a thing in your school, and it's like a badge of honor that you have your birthday party, and it just, then it's easy to maintain. But it's, like anything, it takes a lot of effort to keep going. But it's certainly worth it.
I got to tell you something that I found that I like that Disney does with the boutique that we were talking about. Once you've been to the boutique, they give you a sash that you can wear around the park for the next couple of days. Mm. And I think that's something, too, that if we can find a way to incorporate that into, you know, so-and-so had their birthday party with us this week and give them something for class that week, it helps build that.
Well, absolutely. Anything you can do so that the kid who did it is proud of it and everybody else wants to be that, you know, the closer you are. Somebody, some years ago, I think it was at Kempo School, they had some big dragon patch. But the only way you got your big dragon patch is when your third friend enrolled in school, right? So, you know, they had this cool like patch, but it was basically you had to have three referrals to get the patch. And so, you know, the two or three kids with a big dragon patch, and everybody else wanted the dragon patch, and it was I always thought a super cool idea. Good. Sean, you and I were talking yesterday. There was two or three things. Your rat card idea and the conversation you and I were having about newsletters. A thing that Sean mentioned yesterday, which I've been saying for years, it's hard to never get anybody to do it. When we talk about follow-up for birthday party leads or any other lead, one of the best pieces of mail to send them every month is the school newsletter. Okay? Now, you know, I mean, something that NABNA has, I don't know, 480 of them in the can or something like that is the pre-formatted newsletter, right? But the thing is, for your own student body, putting together a big fancy newsletter once a month is semi-irrelevant. I can give you two contrasting examples over the years, and I've done every version, but Steve LaValle for a while was doing like almost like martial arts professional. He was doing, you know, a 10-page slick paper color newsletter. Totally worthless. Expensive production, a lot of effort into it, made no damn difference whatsoever. Hafner, on the other hand, was doing a legal-sized piece of paper on lightly colored paper, two-sided, you know, like old mimeograph looking, but I mean just Xerox paper. And every week he would do a little legal-sized piece of paper, two-sided, with recognition for different things going on, an update on what was on the schedule, things you should be paying attention to, when the closing dates were, worked like a charm. Now, the difference was what Catherine was doing is he is running a labels for every student, putting the student label on, and his staff was trained when that person came in to hand deliver the newsletter and walk them through it. And then at the end of the week, he had the stack of the ones that hadn't been received yet, so they put it in an envelope and put a stamp on it with a little personal note, we missed you in class this week, and by the way, you didn't get this, okay? And at some point, he shifted that to email, and I'm not sure if he shifted back or not. If it were me, I would shift back and do it paper. And so, on one hand, the best thing you can do, not the best, one of the things you should incorporate in your direct mail with your prospect follow-up is a thing that looks completely non-salesy. All the cool stuff that's going on in the school and recognition and so forth with some useful information. The NABNA newsletter is as good as any. Just plug in some special stuff on the school. And without that plugged in special stuff at the school, I wouldn't think it's very valuable, right? Because you don't want it to be just generic, you know, lessons on stuff. You want it to be the big ninja night and Joey's birthday party and, you know, let's recognize Susie for being, you know, valedictorian. And, yeah, I mean, you want all that kind of stuff in it. But as a prospect follow-up, it's fabulous, right? But like the pre-formatted newsletter that NABNA sends out is not what I would use for your students. It's what I would use for your prospects, okay? And that's, again, is the conversation we had as a side conversation yesterday. Is one of our quandary over the years is having taken over NABNA, we had all these legacy members that were used to getting a certain type of stuff. And what you guys need and what those legacy members want and need are different things. And as you become educated, there's a dissonance. The conversation that we had with our franchise schools back in August was, you know, when I took over NAM and when we launched Peak Performance Inner Circle, the decision on both sides was mail all the franchises all the stuff that we do at all different levels, and you guys all the different stuff we do at all different levels. But that what used to be that old basic toolkit was turned into the blue envelope, is really designed for all those like quarterly members and monthly members, and a lot of them are like small guys. And it's not really designed with like you guys in mind to be at the level of stuff that you really need, right? And it doesn't mean a lot of it isn't valuable, but some of it isn't what, you know, at the level that you understand it should be done, right? So some of the ads aren't particularly good direct response ads. Some of the, you know, some of it's stuff that you can get them to do, but you can't get you guys to do. And one of the things we're finally going to do, probably we talked about this last July, but we're finally just going to kill off all that stuff. So on April 1st, we're essentially reformatting everything. So that entry-level membership and maximum impact is the format on everything that's going to change. And, you know, at least a couple hundred members either have to move up or move out. So we're going to stop worrying about it. But still, there's going to be like a bunch of schools, you know, several hundred that are under 20,000 a month that aren't you guys. And what you need when you're at 12,000 a month is different than what you need when you're at 40,000 a month is different than what you need at 100,000 a month. And again, part of our quandary is, you know, do we just send you guys everything and expect that with the global education you sort it out, which has always been my assumption, is, you know, I would always think that you can kind of look at the envelope and know things that, you know, are at the level that you would want to use and things that aren't. The other way to go would be to only send you guys things that are appropriate to your level. I don't have a preference. It's not like we're trying to, you know, save money on one way or the other. What do you guys have a feedback on that? Do you like to get just everything and then sort it out for yourself, or would you prefer we added it to the higher level stuff and not send any of those stuff?
Sometimes it'll make you think about something that isn't exactly what that thing said,
right,
but it keeps you thinking.
Yeah, I don't mind getting, there's always a little, you know, gem, like, oh, you know, like, even like the little posters, it's like, this just saved me an hour of work.
Yeah.
You know, and so I found it valuable even when I go, this isn't great, but you know what, if I don't use this, I won't use anything,
right,
and it won't get
right,
done. So,
right.
It does get used in my school a little bit,
okay.
And a lot of times I can hand it off to, you know, my person and say, "Do this better."
Yeah.
So I find it helpful on a number of fronts.
Yeah. I don't mind getting it, as a lot of it's reminders of things that we forgot or like
right.
In the past.
Yeah. Yeah, but just recognize, right? I mean, I'm not sitting down every month saying that these aslets that are in the thing are your level. You know, a lot of it I'm saying, well, I mean, really, the stuff we're teaching peak performers in our circle, this doesn't match, but it's at the lower level, it's the only thing you can use sometimes, right? So, you know, Jonathan, like that great direct mail package you brought, you know, the average guy is doing 10,000 a month. You could get his arms around it, much less, and he would look at it and say, it's all crappy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Too many words, and, you know, what the hell is this saying? You know, what my logo is the headline. I mean, so, you know, we try to give them stuff that would be good, but we can't give them stuff that's great because they just can't see it yet. And
frankly, if there's a brown paper envelope in there that's, you know, you're only stuffing 20 of them because it's gone to the inner circle people,
yeah.
It's like, here's the stuff we didn't bother sending to the other guys, that would be great, you know. And they could be like,
well, that we're going to do. That we're going to do. Part of the thing that we're going to do is, like, the dimensional mail. We've got a bunch of the dimensional mail examples and pieces and so forth. What my intent would be is, one is to really hone in on stuff that you guys are having to create. There's no reason for everybody to create, right? So things like your mail sequence, things like, you know, Robert's, you know, series of rack cards. That there's no in the digital era. There's no reason we don't have just all that up there mail merch, right? The other thing in the old mountain model is the idea of sending somebody a complete new marketing toolkit every month of new stuff is wacky. I mean, what do you need? You know, ideally maybe four seasons worth of good stuff. And then you need kickboxing, fitness-oriented stuff for some people. You need Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or MMA stuff for some people. You need, like, character development for kids and families type of stuff. And, you know, Tai Chi, you know, Chinese stuff. And so we're going to move the the digital artwork online and on print on demand, right? So, yes, sir.
What would be brilliant, I don't know if it's feasible on your side, is this is the marketing thing that we're pushing this month. Click here to opt in. We already have your credit card and school information.
Yes.
You know, that would be fantastic. Like,
it's a little more complicated.
I'm sure.
But what?
I have two comments on your.
Go ahead.
You know, first off, the new printer thing that you have. I just did it with the Valentine's card. Right. I know that Robert's been using this guy for a while. But first off, the guy was phenomenal. I mean, I was late with him, and he got him out the next day, and I had him, and he has a place in New Jersey he can ship from. I mean, I had
from Jersey. Jersey.
Yeah, that's right. It comes out of Jersey.
I had these things. I'm like,
I thought you were shipping it out of Florida.
He outsources it to a printer who does it.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe 3 days I got them, which would save me, right? The other thing is that the NAMA website sucks. Even the new one, it is freaking terrible. It's just a struggle. You go on a thing and it locks up. I don't know, does anybody else find that?
Yep.
Like it's like I dread to do anything on that, you know? Well, I know you guys spent a ton of money doing the whole thing over.
Oh yeah, you have no idea. But we're moving into a new hosting site next week. Apparently the biggest problem is the hosting service. But what specifically do you have a challenge with?
Well, like, a lot of times when you go to log, first off, they got the page field up in the right corner, and that's where the login button is. So a lot of times you can't get to the login button. It just keeps peeling the page over, right?
Yeah.
It's frustrating as hell, you know? And I think there's another way to log in somehow, and you know, I always forget what the hell that is when I go to do it, right? and then a lot of times, you know, you got the videos on there, which, okay, yeah. I mean, you need to do for the marketing. But it seems like the videos are taking the bandwidth or something, and then you try to click on stuff and nothing happens, and you sit there and you wait. Mm. Sometimes you log in and it logs me in as a Maximum Impact member. Other times it logs me in as a ICPP member, right?
Really?
Yeah.
That's happened to me too.
Right. I don't really get it, and then I don't know. It just seems like it's very difficult to navigate.
Well, even the internal navigation in Inner Circle, trying to find anything, is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, let me throw this at you. See, again, it's kind of the getting rid of the legacy crap, right? Is the thing that we inherited was, here's this big new marketing package every month, and here's all this new crap every month. And, you know, in the old model was basically, especially when Century acquired the company, it was you pay $99 for a box of stuff, right? And then when you're trying to replicate that model online, it's the big box of stuff is up online digital as well as in the box, right? And there's really no reason to ever mail somebody a CD of artwork if you can do a print on demand and you can do new stuff. And there's also no reason to have, I mean, over the years, over 12 months, people probably get, you know, 60 different pieces of artwork, a range of spectrum. But really, if you're running a school, what do you want? You know, Robert, you know, from our conversations yesterday, I want a New Year's special rack card because I'm going to go order 2,500 of them to fill the, you know, to fill the boxes. So I want to be able to go on there and say, I'm going to do the cardio program, so I want, you know, 2,500 New Year's rack cards for the cardio program. I want 2,500 New Year's rack cards for the kids program, right? And I want to be able to go in and find that. Now, I don't need 3 months worth of new crap. What I need is a New Year's thing for fitness, a New Year's thing for MMA, a New Year's thing for, you know, for the kids program. And so, and on April 1st, we're going to make the shift from mail you a package of crap every month, right, of all that, to digitize that update seasonally key elements of things that you would want. And, you know, and my mission would be, I want to do little lawn sign things. Let's go find lawn signs that are appropriate to what I'm doing. I want to do rack cards. Let's go find rack cards that are appropriate to what I'm doing. I need birthday party promotions. Let me go find birthday party. And the challenge is how much new stuff to be showing should be showing up all the time versus can I just go to a place and find summer special, you know, summer special, whatever it is. get to it easily. And again, as much feedback as we can get, the better. Toby and I have this argument about the website all the time, and he looks at it as a techie guy, and I've got as good techie credentials as anybody, but I try to look at it from Eleanor schools, whatever they're looking for, and I'm always annoyed with the website. The page field thing, I can't get on my iPad because the page field thing peels down right where you, you know, hit the...
Maybe it's my monitor setting at home because
The part of the problem is every different browser is different. And then if your font settings are different, so like I always have my font setting different than like Merrick, the web designer's font. And so the things are all showing up at different places. Mm-hmm. And I've got a login so I can log into the Maximum Impact level and log into the B-Performance Inner Circle level to try to, you know, always go look. And my conclusion should be when you guys log in, you aren't seeing all that crap that everybody else is seeing all the time. It's not necessarily useful for you. But the final conclusion was just to stop worrying about 300 of them and to do all the new stuff that's all good. And then just, you know, their only option is move up to the next level and go away. So, you know, it takes a little bit of chutzpah to do that because, you know, it's a lot of money. But, you know, a lot of these people are people who have been members for, you know, for 7, 8, 10 years, but, you know, they probably don't even open the envelopes anymore. You know, it's amazing the number of people or their credit cards being hit for whatever.
I was that way for years. I had boxes of these things stacked up.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, shit, another box.
Well, that was me. I always subscribed to everything.
Yeah.
So I had the Napna boxes there, the My boxes there. You know, when John did his thing, I already had Andrew give me everything. So then I had Andrew's stuff that John was rebranding, and truthfully, with all that stuff, what I did is more or less every 6 months, I opened it all, and I had a spindle that all the artwork went on, right? And I'd go through and look at the artwork, and in the 1 out of 10 that I thought was worth a shit, I would put over here for a reminder. And like there was some ad that I used for 20 years that it was Keith Hafner, Tom Callis, and I always had, like, the best thing that he ever had that was working was a couple of my kids with my headline. The best thing that I had that was working was a couple of his kids. In fact, one of the kids ended up suing him. The kid's probably, you know, an MD by now. And all of Hafner's renewal stuff was some little kid that I had. I mean, it was so inbred between it. But I just always stacked all the art spindle. And then when I needed something, I kind of had the physical copies over here and I can go look through and go find what I need. You know, my logic was always, you know, it's the small hinges swing big doors thing, right? You know, if I was spending $500 a month for all this stuff that, you know, a couple times a year I looked at, I was getting one idea that was worth $100,000. It doesn't take much, you know, if you're doing a couple times a year to make a big difference. So it wasn't like I was worried about it. But, you know, but our new format really, our new format really is go look for the top 10% and don't worry at all about the bottom half, right? I don't mean to sound like, you know, they were on this yet, but I could give a shit about all the broke schools out there. You know, really what we want to do is you guys are kind of at the upper end, but find people who look like what's in the other room, right? And so we want schools that are 15,000 and up, and I'd rather find a bunch of 30,000 and up schools because, you know, it's really easy to take somebody who's doing 30 or 50 and get them to 100,000. But it's really tough to get somebody who's at 5 or 7 and get them to 12. You know, I mean, there's the bottom half of the industry is where they're at because that's where they should be, right? And it, most of that's where they want to be. I mean, you know that as well as anybody, right? But anyway, we have about 10 minutes. So let me cover a couple things and then we'll go back to Mike when we come back in and go through your stuff. And Sean, did we pass out just your newsletter?
It seems that way, yeah.
But everybody anchor that in. I mean, the biggest advantage of like a pre-templated newsletter is mail it every month to all your prospects. And that is something I'd love to see, mail, merge, print on demand, but it has to have the personalized stuff that you upload. Because I think it's hard for a generic newsletter to ever do much. So Let me give you a couple things here. I had emailed this, but let me kind of reiterate. On that same theme, we have five or six schools that are oh, and by the way, on the what's his name, Greg, the printer guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's in that you can't win for losing category. Because one of the things that Penny's pissed off about is that Greg's an asshole. And she and Penny and Greg had some pissy match.
I talk to Greg on a regular basis. Yeah. He's fantastic.
Yeah, I thought he was awesome.
I referred a friend of mine with another business to him. I got a 10% off coupon from him. I mean, he's I need something last minute. It's done.
And we came up with him from Jimmy Mack.
Yep.
You know, we had Jimmy Mack at that seminar. Jimmy had come highly recommended from Tim Kovar. And he was doing all the printing for Jimmy Mack. That's how we came across him. And we've had all the franchise schools use him, and everybody's had, you know, great results with him. You know, I haven't interacted with him a lot directly, but Nathan's had him do a bunch of printing.
The price of the print line.
I was going to say, you can't beat his prices. You cannot beat his prices. I think he bid on rack cards like half of what we found anywhere else. We did all for all of my like credit franchises. We did all of the credit kit printing and all the custom panda printing with him.
I called him a couple times. Pick up your phone. He was responsive. He promised. Prices were great.
Yeah. So until he has a meltdown, he's a great supplier. And we'll have to find the next guy like him. But I sent this thing out, but I'm not going to dwell on it, but I think we have a fabulous team here in the room. And if you look at also, some of you weren't in Keystone in the fall, but I think it was hard to meet the room full of people in either case. But, you know, some of you guys are new to the room, but your highest priority for getting the best benefit out of this is for us to put more and more 75,000, 100,000, multi-million-dollar multi-school operators in the room, and some of the bigger operators that are now part of this group didn't make it this weekend for whatever reason. So, but one mission is to have this type of meeting that we're doing capped at around 15 or 17 people, right? So, if it gets much over that, it's hard to make it very interactive. So if we had to have two rooms full at that level, that's fine. Or if we end up with a multi-school operator and single school operators and some iteration like that, that's fine. But really, my mission this year, and as some of you who have been around a while know, is this thing has gone through a couple of iterations. You know, when we launched this, what my plan was is I was kind of moving out of the coaching thing. And it was going to be Rob and Toby were going to be running Inner Circle GP Performers. And I was really not planning on being terribly involved with it. And as I've talked openly, you know, made some miscalculations on Santé and really decided to add a couple of things. One is the thing that we were finding with Beat Performers Inner Circle that we had left out that I had been doing with coaching is the coaching was mostly effective because we're one-on-one calls every month. And it was not predominantly quarterly or whatever the period of meetings. With coaching before, it was, what were we doing, Joe? Like maybe spring and fall. So we were doing a couple meetings a year, but monthly coaching and monthly small group teleconference. And what I came to conclude was the group meetings without the one-on-one calls missed the key component. And you guys, how valuable you find it or not. You know, some are religious and always showing up and being prepared, and others are not. But and it's fine either way. But the other thing is, you know, really is our focus on kind of this updated reboot in Atlanta is to have about 100 peak performers and have a real elite group of Inner Circle. But we only want to be targeting $15,000 or $20,000 a month schools. You know, we've had enough, and by the way, on the franchise side, that's our same conclusion. You know, we're not even talking about a franchise unless they're about $20,000 a month. So what we did on that side is we brought in a bunch of people who were way too low. We should have put them into like Maximum Impact and Movement to peak performers, and then they got to a certain level of talk to them. But you know, there are some people who are where they're at because that's where they're at. There's others, you know, I described it in mine last time. There's you know, you take them, they don't know how to drive yet in a Formula One car and watch them, you know, barrel into the wall. So really our focus is in finding the top 10% of the industry. Now, it's harder than you might think to locate those guys, because in most places that we can go where there's a gathering of martial artists, it's not the top people, right? So, you know, you go to a tournament or you go to Alan Goldberg's thing or whatever, you know. And even like the Super Show, where you would think, you know, that's people who are interested in operating schools, but really it's evolved into they come one of them, Chuck Liddell, and get his autograph, and they want to, you know, roll around. And there's not really top school owners there. If anybody has any better suggestion where like good people get together other than, you know, like now, you know, let me know. But think in terms of your circle of friends and influence. One is, you know, rule number one, as Sean said a couple times, you know, no assholes policy. So we don't want to bring people who, you know, have too much ego to bear or who are not going to be a good contribution. Two is we don't want any idiots in the room. And three is we only want successful people who want to be much more successful. And I think, as you all know, we've been very good at taking successful school owners and making them very successful, but not terribly good at taking failures and getting them to, you know, have a pulse, right? And nor is anybody else. I mean, it's just impossible. Any thoughts or comments on that? I mean, but just be on the lookout. You know, I'd love to have, you know, four or five more multi-million dollar multi-school operators in the room. Not that there's that many of them around the country. And I'd certainly love to, in the other room, have a bunch more schools that are 15,000 to 30,000 that are coming in. And in our informal threshold right now for inner circle is about 500,000 and up. So we're really targeting 500,000 and up single schools, 1.5 million, 2 million and up multi-school operations. So that's really what we're targeting for, like this group, if that makes sense. Questions, thoughts, ideas?
What can we take to them? Like, sometimes I don't have that long to talk to people like that. And is there something we could give them? I mean, they could go online, but they might not go.
Well, that's a good point. We should have some piece of collateral that you can give them. Let me put that together.
Yeah,
I mean, we have all this stuff.
A couple of really
yeah.
Great people.
Let me put that together. I'll put together a package that you can give them.
Good suggestion.
It really is. From a if you can take them to that natna.com/private coaching session, right? So by email or whatever, that's the entry point we want them to do. And what that does, and by the way, is an interesting aside. You know, I got fully engaged in looking at this a year ago and took everything we're doing with NAPNA back to the martial arts school model, right? First intro, second intro, private consultation, not trying to sign up for anything online, getting away from the, you know, free trial offers. And so we're doing intro one, one-on-one, intro two, one-on-one. Before they do intro one, there's a video in the book. Before they do intro two, there's another video. And so it's they do a video, they get a free copy of the book. We do a one-on-one consultation, then they get another video, and then we do a one-on-one consultation. If they're over about 25,000 a month, I talk to them. If they're under that, Toby Dodge. And so we went to that model, which is working like a charm. And now the only challenge of the model is having a throughput. Because we get a ton of, I'm doing 3,000 a month, save me. We don't get as many as we'd like, because it's harder to get their attention. I'm doing 25,000 a month, I'd like to get 50. So that's the only challenge. But that's a good suggestion. We'll get her some clients. The other thing we're going to have to run into the other thing, I think everybody's got this, but let me pass it out again. The agenda, that is really annoying.
Yes, it
is. Four, no sound group. Four, layout and design.
That's right.
I didn't go. Cornell has a hotel school. I can go to it, but I know. Four, hotel design.
Oh, yeah, there should be enough of these.
That's all. What time do you have to go over
there? In about 2 minutes.
Oh.
Okay. Okay.
You must have one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll take a little break before we go in there.
I got to run.
So let me walk you through this just half a second here. With the other thing that's a dramatic, hopefully, improvement this year, and just as a reminder, like this weekend at Disney was an afterthought. In Keystone, the plan was we were going to be in Miami, and you know we kind of put it to a vote, and everybody said, well, kind of focus on Disney in the fall while we do that in the spring too. We ended up in Orlando instead. Hopefully you found the little behind-the-scenes thing useful and the conversation we'll have with Mike, and if you really read the book, the plan is, though, in the fall, is we're going to Disney Institute for a day and doing the Disney Institute approach to service, and maybe we'll early the following year do their leadership program. But I found it extremely valuable. It's much more so, as I understand what you did on Wednesday, much more so on Wednesday, because the Wednesday thing is more designed for kind of curious tourists, where the Disney approach to service is an intentionally corporate program designed to help you benchmark what they're doing. But what we do have to do is we've got to make sure that we have locked in RSVPs for October now, because we've got to go book all this stuff now. And with the level of things that we're going to do, I mean, in the immediate future is West Point, on the West Point campus, high-level focus on leadership in May. Then the marketing boot camp in August, and then Disney in October. Then we'll do San Diego, and then we'll do Harvard Business School. Okay, so which is Boston, Cambridge. So, and I'm trying to balance it out where we have high-level places that we can go and benchmark and get ideas from. And kind of balance between East Coast, West Coast. And what we'll do every year is we'll do a high-level boot camp. So next year we'll do a high-level internet marketing boot camp. So we'll really get deep on what's current in, you know, 2013 on search engine optimization and follow-up and all that kind of stuff. This year we'll do a high-level marketing boot camp, which will focus more on things like we touched a little bit about earlier, broadcasting, direct mail, and so forth. We'll touch on internet, but not delve as deeply as next year. So my intent is every year we'll do a high-level boot camp. We kind of did that sort of with the sales boot camp, but this year we'll do marketing, and then next year we'll do internet, and then cycle back around. And then high-level places where we can learn high-level leadership or business, for instance, West Point, Harvard Business School, and then companies that we can benchmark, obviously starting with Disney. So. And as you know from last year, the year before, there's quite a change in focus, right? But it is important, again, that we know ahead of time. Like even this weekend, we had Penny and David bail out at the last minute. So, you know, we had tickets booked in one thing or another, and then we had some challenges with that. So we've got to make sure that we know that you're going to be here. One, that we know that you're RSVP for, and two, that we have good headcount. So before we leave, one of the things that you might want to think about is one of the options financially, and what you want to do is everybody's been billed to date on this program monthly. It's just fine to stay that way. So it's not like we're trying to shift to everybody prepaid cash, you know, for things. However, if you prefer to prepay, it's fine too. So, you know, there are a couple of options. On a tuition standpoint, it is going to, and you guys all know my philosophy, so I'm not going to run NAMA differently than anything else. I mean, it is going to continue to get more aggressive. And as we do higher level stuff, the tuition is going to need to move forward. Now, I'm very concerned to make sure that it's always a very positive ROI for participants, and of course, it's a business, you know, environment. So I want to make sure everybody's getting a 10-to-1 return on investment. And part of that 10-to-1 return on investment has to be everybody's aggressively growing all the time. And nobody would deny it's been a challenging business environment the last couple of years, but it's now time to make sure that we're ignoring that and moving forward. And you know, several of you guys have had, you know, Robert, you've had a huge growth curve the last couple of years. John, you've had a huge growth curve. Some of you have been, Joe, you've had a huge growth curve, for sure. Some have been kind of steady for a couple of years. The reason you're steady oftentimes is you don't have aggressive financial goals. Eric, you told me directly, part of what's got you excited about moving to the next level is this retreat. So now you have a need for more money. And you can create that for yourself artificially all the time, by the way. Right? You just got to continue to improve your lifestyle or improve your expectations. And for some of you, it's buy a new Rolex or buy a Ferrari. And for others, it's buy a retreat or one thing or another. But you've got to be thinking about what's going to get you to grow and expand your horizons financially. And if in my life over 30 years, the two times I stagnated was I just bought the car I wanted, bought the house I wanted, and didn't have any immediate financial goals, right? And so, twice I've seen go flatline for a couple of years because there wasn't something that was being, getting grasped for. And, it doesn't really matter what it is, and you never want to feel guilty for it. So, if you want a $20,000 watch, set a goal to get a $20,000 watch. If you want a camp that's going to be $3 million to build out, set that goal, or anything in between. But you got to come up with something, right? And it can be charitable. You want to fund the foundation at $1 million, or it can be self-serving in the scheme of things. It doesn't make much difference because the money just circles through anyway. So you're either supporting the guys who are building the log cabin, or you're supporting, the people that you're getting the money to directly. But you've got to have something you're always reaching for. If not, you stagnate. And I really think there's no such thing as staying low. You're either growing or you're imploding, right? So you've got to always have something to reach for. But before we leave, we need to make sure we have RSVPs for the upcoming events. And then we also need to have a sense of, of whether you want to lock in and, be guaranteed a certain price point or whether you want to do this year and evaluate at the end of the year. Either way is fine, but we'll want to decide later in the session. Okay, let's go see if Mike is here and talk about Disney for about 90 minutes.